Hi and welcome to Let Spirit Lead. I'm Sis Williams, and in this episode you'll meet the amazing Denise Jarvie, who helps you to tune into the secret language of light. So let's head over to this interview now.
Hi Denise, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. I discovered your cards, your oracle cards, The Secret Language of Light, and I love them. And from those cards, it's very clear that you've been on your own journey of spiritual awakening for quite a long time. So how did that journey begin for you?
Let me see. Well, it began about 25 years ago. I'm 55 now. And at the end of my first marriage, I was going through a lot of depression and anxiety issues, and everything that I believed in life seemed to have just fallen away. So I was asking different questions of life. I found a beautiful little bookshop near where I lived, where I'd just moved to, called the Blue Angel Gallery and the Blue Angel Bookshop and Healing Center, which of course has now become the Blue Angel Publishing. And I went there inquiring about meditation classes. And fast forward 18 months, I was actually working there. I used to be a hairdresser. I let go of my hairdressing and had retrained as a massage therapist and went to work there. And it was a beautiful, nurturing place to work. And it's like everyone took me under their wing and I learned so much. I had been reading tarot from about the age of 15. So I was encouraged to read tarot there. And when the tarot reader left, I took over her position as well as still doing massage. And I learned Reiki, became a Reiki master. I taught Reiki for 15 years. I've done lots of things over the 25 years. And I think for me, I grew up in quite a negative household. And I always thank my parents because they helped me to want to know something different of life. And so as much as it may have been difficult, they were actually the inspiration as well as the end of my first marriage. And so my work is predominantly about helping people to step back into their power and listen to their own voice, be empowered by who they are. And that was what the secret language of light, that was the intent of that card deck as well. And I'm so glad that it's resonated with so many people and it's helping people to awaken as well.
Yeah, I find that they're beautiful because they, not only because they're beautiful cards and beautiful messages, but you also give a meditation with each card that helps you to step into that inner guidance, that mystical wisdom that lives inside each and every one of us. Instead of relying on an outside source, you take us on that path to connect with it directly so that it can lead us forward.
Yes, and of course, that was something that I should have mentioned before as well. I used to, you know, I went to the Blue Angel Bookshop looking for inquiring about meditation classes. And I went to those meditation classes for 18 months, 2 years. And when the owners said they were going overseas, I asked them, it's like, you know, are you going to get somebody else to do the meditation classes? Because, you know, I don't want to miss out really. And they asked if I would take them, do the classes, if I would be the facilitator. I said, that's not really what I was asking. It's like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready to do that. But I took the opportunity because there'd been many times in my life that I had shied away from things that had been offered to me. But I decided it was time for me to just step up and do it anyway. And so that's where I started facilitating meditation classes, which I've been doing ever since. And I've done them everywhere from my lounge room to bookshops to healing centers. I've had my own healing center. And at the moment, I'm doing them online twice a week. And so thankful for, I'm so thankful that I'm able to still do that because it keeps me connected to my beautiful people that come to classes. And, you know, because I'm sort of stuck at home at the moment and I can't do the classes that I was doing. So meditation for me is really important in the way that it helps to, as you just said before, that it brings us back into our own heart space where we can begin to hear and trust our own inner voice. And, you know, meditation is just wonderful, wonderful practice to help bring us into that balanced place at any time, at the beginning of the day, so that we create our life from that balanced place. So, yes, meditation is a big passion of mine as well. And I have found it a really the best tool to come back to me.
Yeah, no, I could feel that from your cards. I love mystical meditation myself, so I really resonated with that. So with your cards, they're very unique. So how were they born through you?
Well, that's interesting. So they started to be born probably 5 years ago. And the first few drafts of them, I wasn't particularly happy. And I had an artist who, I loved her work and she loved my work, but somehow it didn't gel together. And I'd always encouraged her to do her own deck anyway, which she has now gone on to do. And my publishers found the beautiful artwork of Daniel Holman and thought that it would be a good match. And so when I saw them, I actually started to cry because I'd been using a couple of his images in my meditation brochures for a very long time, and especially his Vesica Pisces one, which is in the card deck as the Vesica Pisces. And it was like, I know when I start to cry, when I feel things deep in my heart, okay, I need to listen to this, and this is a place that I need to go to. They were originally, I'm just trying to think, they weren't originally called The Secret Language of Light. I think they were originally something to do with light. See, I can't even remember now. It could have been stars and universe light. Then in 2017, I was at my heaviest I have ever been. I was 115 kilos and I'm only 5 foot two, so I was starting to resemble a bit of a beach ball with arms and legs. but I was going through a very difficult time in my life and I was realising that my second marriage was coming to an end. And I decided that I needed to do something with my body. So I found a six-week challenge near me at a gym, which was at a CrossFit gym. And so I started CrossFit. And of all the things in my life, I never thought that I would be going to a gym or enjoying it, but I'm still doing it today and I think I've got 30 kilos off. Now, I know it sounds very odd, but what it did do was give me back my health. It gave me back my confidence in me. And out of that, the card deck came.
Yeah.
And it does seem a rather strange path. But and actually in the acknowledgements in the front, I thank the gym as well, because everyone at the gym, even though most of them had no idea what work I was doing and they had no idea what any of it meant, all they knew is they said they felt good around me, and so that's fine. So I think they thought what I did was a bit odd and strange.
Yeah, but, I'm sure they did.
Anyway. So I introduced it to a whole new different realm of people. But and then it just flowed. And most of it is channeled, where I just sat for probably a month, I would say, and just allowed it all to flow through me. And it was the most wonderful experience.
Do you think that it started to flow through you properly because you had then shown up for you? You've made a commitment to you, to your health, to your path, to your energy, to your light,
yes,
so that you were finally aligned with being there for you, and therefore you could then channel even more light through
yes.
you to others.
Yes, because of course that's the message of a lot of my work as well, is that it all starts with you. It starts with ourselves. We need to fill ourselves up first before we can give to anyone else. In saying that, though, I was a bit of a rescuer, and can still be. I'm a lot better now, but I think a lot of people that move on to this path are rescuers.
Yeah.
And really all that means is that we see the potential in other people and want to be able to nurture it from them and remind them how wonderful they are. The problem with that, of course, is that that's a bit of a judgment, because we're looking at someone and saying, well, you're not quite right yet. You could be more, you could be better. And they may not actually want to go there either. Mm. And so what I've learned over the years is that I want to inspire people to want to step into their power. I can't do it for anybody. I can't make them do it. And, of course, I wouldn't anyway. That's against their free will and free choice. But so instead of trying to do it for people, I now help them to do it for themselves. It's not much of a shift. It doesn't. It seems very subtle, but it's huge.
It's a huge shift. It's a massive shift because when you're in that rescuer mode, you are doing it for others and not actually attending to you. So as you started to attend to you, you stepped into that power, and through that power, when you're shining your light and your power and your kind of divine alignment, you will naturally inspire those that are ready to take that step themselves.
Yes. Yeah. So you stop giving your own power away and rescue yourself, and then you help other people to rescue themselves. So I suppose the rescuer archetype in me doesn't really go away, but we, because our archetypes, from my point of view, don't tend to go away, but we transcend them. So they move into a much higher place.
Yeah.
And and they become much more of us, part of us, instead of running us.
Yeah. So which of the cards have resonated the most with you?
I would say I really love the awakening card. Mm-hmm. Well, soul name, because soul name was something that came to me probably 20 years ago, my soul name, which is Astar, A-S-T-A-R. And, I mean, I used to look at the stars all the time, so it was, when it came to me, it was like, oh, that's fairly obvious. I always knew that. And you will find that when you connect with your soul name. It's like, oh, yeah, I always knew that. It was always there. And our soul name, for me, I wrote about that and I put it in the way that I did because it's like a point within us where you can connect to yourself, because our soul can seem a little bit conceptual at times. You know, I remember when I started meditating and the teacher said to me, now we're going to go within. And I was a little bit caught up in my mind then, and I thought, what does that mean? How do I go within? Do I go up my nose or in my ear, or do I swallow? I had no idea. Yeah. But, you know, I just kept very quiet and watched everyone else. And I thought, I'll probably get this one day, but we'll just go with the flow at the moment. And really, I had no idea. And I still remember that, and I remember the awkwardness that I felt.
Yeah.
And so I try to explain things in a fairly down-to-earth, grounded way so that people can relate to it and they can go, oh, yeah, I can fit that into my life, because there's no point something being, you know, so esoteric and mystical, as much as I love that, if we can't find a way to relate that into our life on a daily basis. Mm. Otherwise, people sometimes can use that as just a way to escape their life. Mm. And I want to help people be empowered in their everyday life, whatever they choose to do. And so soul name is, but the awakening card, which is the next card, because it just reminds us to wake up, to just wake up. What is it that you want in life? And I mean, really, what's going on around the world at the moment.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, okay, wake up. Do you like the people you're living with? Do you like the jobs that you are doing? It's time to just look at things from a different point of view. And because we have had to stop and slow down, you know, we're being given that wonderful opportunity to reassess lots of things in our life, to see if it's still working. Is it what I want in life? Is it exciting me? You know, and unfortunately in the middle, well, I can't say unfortunately, but in the middle of all of this, my second husband, we've split up now and he's moved out, and, you know, and it's fine. And we came to the end of our relationship. So we're both fine with it. We realized that it was just time to move on. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people are a bit sad about that and they don't know how to cope with it, but it's like, you know, we're coping fairly well. And I think that's happening a lot around the world. And we're just reassessing things.
Mm. And making different choices.
Choices, yes. Closer to our heart.
Yeah, it's like I see it as a massive detox that is going on, where everything yes. that is not in alignment with our truth, with that highest choice, is coming up to the surface so we can make a different choice. We can choose a different path. We can expand into a higher consciousness. And yes. it's messy at the beginning because there's oh, yeah. so much coming up. And that's oh, what, yeah. that's where your cards and other people's teachings, and that helps us to align again with that inner truth, because at the end of the day, it's only that inner truth that can guide us forward.
Yes, yes, our own inner truth. Yeah. Yes, and I'm right in the middle. Well, I've nearly finished The Secret Language of Darkness.
Mm.
Mm. So that's the next one. Mm. That's coming, and because it's to me, the secret language of light is that awakening. It's mm. reminding us that we are light, and that light language is an interdimensional language, understood at soul level, and something that our heart understands fluently, and opening up to that, and awakening, and once we awaken, once we become more of who we are, any energy that needs to be cleaned up is going to come to the surface. Mm-hmm. So any energy, meaning old ideas, old beliefs, mm-hmm. Things that no longer resonate with us, things that have really helped us to get to where we are, but we no longer have need for them, and they're not going to help us as we move forward. If anything, they can hinder us or be an obstacle. So it's learning what that is and cleaning it up so that we can move forward. And to me, that's what the secret language of darkness is. Mm. And that was born when I did a shamanic burial mm. in 2012 on the solstice, which was the summer solstice here, but winter mm. solstice in the Northern Hemisphere on the 21st of December. And it was something that I'd been wanting to do since I stepped onto my path, and it just came. I found it online up in Byron Bay, which is about 8-9 hours north of Sydney, and it sits at the most easterly point of Australia. There were 7 of us, and so a shamanic burial. Of course, the idea behind that was we dug our own graves, if you want to call it that, and then we lay in that overnight. And we've covered up as well. And it was an interesting experience. it was beautiful and rebirthing, uncomfortable. It was nine. I think I was. Well, we were in there for about 9 hours, and we had some Aboriginals that came along and did a eucalyptus smudging for us as well. And they were so funny that they kept saying, "What are you doing?" they couldn't quite figure out what we were doing. So we told them, and they just laughed, and they said, "Oh, you white people, you have to do everything the hard way. Why don't you just lie on the earth?" And it's like, okay, well, that would make more sense. So that was quite funny. But I mean, I'm glad I did what I did, because it was also about facing fears. And there was the death and rebirth aspect.
Absolutely. And daring to show up for that.
Yes. Oh, look, it was phenomenal. It was really quite wonderful. Our facilitators were amazing.
Yeah.
And they drummed all night.
It sounds beautiful.
It was an amazing experience. And it also helped me to shift many things in my life.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah. And the secret language of darkness really came from that. That actually came to me first before the secret language of light as mm. well. They were called different things, but the idea of the darkness deck came first. But that's okay. You know, we just keep moving forward in life and honing our craft, because for me that's what my work is all about. I'm honing my craft on a daily basis and being as true to myself as I possibly can, so that I can inspire others to be true to themselves.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, however people want to live their life. You know, the spiritual path to me is just about being true to yourself. and getting to understand and to know you and living your life from your heart, not pulling anything towards you, not pushing anything away, but, you know, living from that beautiful centered space where we can connect to our intuitive wisdom.
Mm.
And I tend to call that a living meditation. I want to live my life as a living meditation. I don't always do that, but that's what I'm always aiming for.
Mm.
You know, there are always going to be different, new and different things coming into our life that can knock us off our center or push our buttons, things mm-hmm. that we're yet to understand about ourselves. But that's the beauty of life.
Mm. And it is that when you are living your life like that, like a living meditation or a living prayer, as Greg Braden describes mm-hmm. it, which I think yes. is also beautiful. It says your life is a prayer. I love that.
Yes.
And it is that in that living meditation, living prayer, whatever we want to call it, it's also having the courage to transform our darkness, to transcend mm. it, to face it,
yes.
to work with it. Because I think a lot of people think it's all about just being in the light. And it's like, yeah, and it's also about awakening and transforming and doing all that work that we are being called to do at the collective level big time
yes.
right now.
Yes.
And if we just spiritually bypass that, then yes. then we're not going to step in to be the midwives we need to be, both men and women, for this new consciousness that is meant to be born through us at this time.
Yes, yeah. yes. And there's something, and I can't remember which card that it is in the Secret Language of Light. I've spoken about the light of the universe is very different to the light and darkness of positive and negative. To me, the light of the universe, which is the Secret Language of Light, is all encompassing. It encompasses good, bad, yes, no, darkness, lightness, everything in there. When people talk about positive light, that's we need to learn the difference between love and light and the light of all. I have a girlfriend that she likes to give love and light to everybody because they're annoying her. If people are annoying her, she'll say, oh, just love and light, give them love and light, that's fine. And, you know, and I often say to her, I don't really think it works that way. And that's what I mean. Sometimes people want to go to the light, and as you talk about spiritual bypassing or send love and light, because they want them to be different so that they feel comfortable.
Mm.
And that's not what the encompassing light is.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I do a similar sort of explanation about the darkness, because there's a lot
yes.
of fear around darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And I describe it as you have a darkness that is the unconscious, where we've chosen fear and all of that. And then you also have something that I see is a sacred darkness. So mm-hmm. the sacred darkness is when we are journeying into the same unawakened, unconscious areas, but
yes.
we recognize it's a sacred journey.
Yes.
And it's a journey of awakening. So there is no fear around that. It's just like, okay, let's go here and transform it and love it and embrace it. And then when we journey into that sacred darkness, we recognize that we're actually being held in a loving embrace in that darkness. And that's what I see is like the dark divine feminine. They're just waiting like a beautiful, loving mom. Like, okay, you finally yes. come home. This is good. Right. What can we do? And it's giving birth to that newness. And for me, that was shamanic energy medicine really helped me with that, because
yes.
they see the darkness as the cosmic womb that gives life to something new when
yes.
it connects with the light. So it is recognizing it's sacred too.
Oh, of course. And, you know, when we close our eyes and we go into that space behind our eyes, the darkness behind our eyes, when we let go of the physical senses, you can begin to really connect to your inner senses, your psychic senses,
mm-hmm.
which are the things that are going to help you hear the whispers of your heart and help you connect to your intuitive self. And so going into the darkness also helps us to, helps our intuition to become louder,
mm-hmm.
because now we're not relying on what we can see or hear as we would with our physical senses. And of course, for me, the goddess, the divine feminine is there in that black velvety matrix where anything is possible. It's like a quantum field of infinite possibilities. Mm. And it's like diving into the womb of the goddess. And it's just magical and beautiful, and anything is possible. And I use that a lot in my new moon meditations.
Mm.
It's like, let's dive into that and see what it is that anything is possible. We can create whatever it is that we want to create, and it's truly, truly wonderful.
Mm.
And so it's never something to be fearful of. Of course, because we have learned to rely on our physical senses so much, because we're very good, humans are very good at using their physical senses to interpret their environment, and we've learned to rely on that so much. And because we're so intellectually based, it's like, you know, I'll believe things when I see them. I'll only believe them when I see them. But as soon as we take that away and we flow into that night or darker aspect where we can't see, where we can't rely on our physical senses, and we haven't been taught what to do with our inner senses or our psychic senses, it's frightening because we don't quite know how to navigate that. So the work that you do is phenomenal to help people to navigate that path and take that fear. Yeah, well, thank you. And take that fear away from people and realize that it's okay and it can be fun. And, you know, right down deep in our golden shadows, we've got all our dreams and desires that we've forgotten about. All those things that people said, oh, why would you do that? You can't possibly do that in your life. You know, all those things that we didn't think were possible or we didn't know how they would happen, and we tend to shove them right down. So they're sitting in our golden shadow and waiting to be rediscovered. Because they're part of our passion and things that we really want to create in our life.
I love that. I love that golden shadow term. I see it as, because I work so much with healing and training others to work as practitioners. So the way I describe it is that when you have that courage to journey into the darkness to heal your own inner wounds and wherever you get stuck, that's your entry point into that darkness. And then once you're in there, you actually help to work on the collective as well. But that's your individual entry point. And through that journey in and the transformation that you have the courage to go through, you discover your inner gold, which is the medicine you're here to share with others. It's the gifts you're here to share with others. But you only connect with it when you dare to journey into that darkness. Because that darkness is the room for it.
And for me, this is, I mean, it's a huge part of the spiritual journey that, and for a long time, as you said earlier, there was a lot of spiritual bypassing going on. And, you know, that's okay. But somewhere along the line, these things are going to pop up because for you to become who you truly are, that things have to come to the surface to heal.
Yeah.
And, of course, we can see that going on around the world in many different areas as well. Things are coming up because they need to heal. We may have looked at certain things before and certain themes and certain topics and worked a little bit on them, but it's got too hard, so they've been shoved down again. And it's like now it's like, okay, for us really all to step into that, the 5D, if you want to call it that, energy, and step up into who we truly are. It's like we can't take the old with us. It's time to heal that. It's time to just acknowledge it, thank it for everything that it was and that it has shown us. But now we want to be much more inclusive of ourselves, include everything within ourselves, and on a community and a world basis as well. But, of course, it's like everything wonderful and everything horrible is all smashing together at the same time. And it's bringing up a lot of interesting things.
And it is that invitation, I feel, to go deeper and to dare to go into that darkness and do that transformation. And I feel that one of the key elements in that is to, just like it is when we do it on our own personal journey, we can't blame anyone else for it. We have to journey in and recognize, this is my invitation, this is my responsibility to clear up, to transform, to transcend, to transmute, to heal. Yes. And as long as I keep blaming others, saying it's their fault and it's their mess and it's their stuff, then I am resisting the invitation mm-hmm. that the universe is bringing to my door. And I feel that's where, you know, we've all done spiritual bypassing on our journey.
Oh,
it's part
of
the it's part of the journey. And after a while, you recognize that's not helping. We've all done that. We blame others. And after a while, we recognize that's not helping. I remember I used to blame my dad for years of my unhappiness. And then I realized I haven't met him for like 5-6 years. I can't keep blaming him anymore. Yeah. And I was then, that's when I started my spiritual journey. I was then in my 20s. And I remember having that realization, I can't keep blaming him. And I then dared to journey into the darkness because I had nowhere else to go. I realized this is my stuff. And I feel that's happening globally now. We have to stop blaming and instead observe. We can use discernment and observe what's going on and then journey within and see, okay, what is it for me to heal and shift and transcend here? How can I be part of the solution instead of the problem? Because the problem is the blame and just shifting the responsibility on others or suppressing it. Yeah,
of course. And it's just that it's that projecting our own shadow. So you keep pushing something down, it's going to find a way
to come out.
and if we don't listen enough, what tends to happen is it just gets projected outward onto other things around us. I can remember just a little quick story that I used to do a lot of work for the Tibetan Buddhists. I'm not Buddhist. I'm not of any religion. I studied all the religions and I take all the bits that I like from them all and bring them into my own intuitive wisdom. But for some unknown reason, I had an affinity with the Tibetan Buddhists, and maybe it was just the way I didn't like the way they were being treated and that they couldn't do whatever they wanted to do. And so I had a spiritual teacher at the time, and he said to me, there's 4 or 5 Tibetan Buddhist monks coming out. They were going to Melbourne. And he said they're coming out to talk about where they want to take Tibetan Buddhism, what the path is. And, you know, and he said, I noticed that you do a lot of work for them. He said, but I also noticed that it doesn't make you very happy. And he said, so maybe you need to meet them. So I was very excited. I thought, oh, this is going to be wonderful. It's going to be lovely. And I met with one of the monks who was gracious enough to give me some time. And he spoke fairly good English as well. And he said to me, okay, tell me, why do you want to help us? So I went through and explained to him why I wanted to help the Buddhists. And he was so lovely. He put his hand on my knee and he said, you don't have to tell me how I think. I already know. And I felt like a white middle-class do-gooder, and I would have been quite happy for the floor to have opened up and swallowed me. And he was so lovely, but he went on to say, but thank you. Thank you for caring. Thank you for being interested. He said, but if you really want to help us, listen to what we're going to talk about, which is where they want to take Tibetan Buddhism. He said, we don't know why we're going through what we're going through. We don't understand why it's happening. However, it's helping us to get clearer with what we do want. And so when you listen to that, he said, hold that vision in your meditations every day and just hold that vision on a daily basis, because the more people we have connecting to that, the bigger that vision will become, and eventually it will tip over into the physical. And then the last thing he said to me is he says, you're going to have to learn to love the Chinese government. Otherwise, you become them.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so because we can never blame anything. Yeah. And then 6 months later, I had a deeper understanding that I had projected my own feeling of being controlled onto that situation because I didn't want to deal with it in my own life. And it wasn't that I was really being controlled by other people. I was probably being more controlled by my thinking, by beliefs that I thought I had to live by. And I just felt that I couldn't move beyond it. And so that was projected onto them. And once I came to terms with all of that, it just went away. The need to help them However, I did hold that vision, and I still hold that vision in my meditations today, as I do for many people around the world. He was just such a beautiful person, and in such a small amount of words, he taught me so much. And I did feel like a bit of a nonce, I suppose, a bit silly at the time. But I also didn't realise that what I was doing either.
Yeah.
And it was just
I love that.
So wonderful and so beautiful. And I'm ever grateful for that. For that experience.
Yeah. Wow. And what a powerful teaching also for us today. You know, it is that. It's like, wow. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Now, I'm going to dive into my next question. What is a soul intuitive reading?
Okay. So a soul intuitive reading is, I started calling them that a long time ago because I did not want to be just called a reader, and I didn't want people to think that I was a psychic reader. It's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the work that I do. So a soul intuitive reading is a way to connect to your heart. What I do is I connect with your energy, with your guides, your angels, light beings, loved ones, your higher energy, and I allow whatever it is that needs to come through for you, just allow that to come through. That's probably the easiest way to explain it. My process is really just to sit with someone and just allow whatever to come. So when I do a soul intuitive reading, I'm connecting to the energy of you, your stream of consciousness, your higher self. And the object is to help to bring information to you to empower you right now. There, obviously, we can read the streams of energy that are flowing through you because everything happens energetically before it happens physically. So we can see outcomes that are coming. But my question to somebody who says to me, can you tell me my future? My question to them is, what is so bad in your life now that you want to run from it and you want something better or you want something different? Because you don't need a psychic to tell you that if you want a new relationship or if you want a new job, if you want to move, if you want something different in your life, you don't need a psychic to tell you that if you truly want that, you can make that happen because that will just happen because that's life as well. The thing that I ask people is, how are you going to go about it? Because new things can come into your life, but if you're going to go about it the way you've always gone about it, you will get the same result. And we want something different because we want a different result. So for me, a soul intuitive reading is about giving you the tools, the information to empower you now, to connect to your intuitive wisdom, to connect to your higher self, your inner self, whatever it is that you want to call it. I get information that will help you to understand any patterns that are going on, patterns and cycles, to help you to break those. Any information that needs to come through to just help dissolve anything that's holding you away from being you, anything to dissolve any walls around your heart. So that's basically what a soul intuitive reading is.
For more information about Denise, visit denisejarvi.com. Sending you lots of love until our next episode. Bye bye, everyone. Bye bye.